in Isaiah 55, please turn over there. When I was raised in church, we were taught a lot of things. Some of the things were really good. Some of the things could have been a little improved. But the effort and the zeal was there to make sure that we understood, or how can I say, that we grew spiritually. Well, the problem is you can't grow spiritually unless you're feeding on truth. The truth that you feed on, you will grow. A lot of the things that we believed were based upon the way we perceived God and what it meant to be a Christian. For one thing, we believed that all Christians still had a sin nature. Well, I found out later that's not true. You're either born again or you're lost. I mean, there's no in between. And if you are born again, you have a new nature on the inside. We'll talk about that a little bit here in just a few minutes. We also were taught that nobody can do the works that Jesus did. You cannot lay hands on the sick and see them recovered. You cannot do miracles. These things just aren't possible. Sometimes you would hear things like, well, the gifts of the Spirit died out with the apostles. Miracles, healing died out with the apostles. That's what we believed. And it was all based upon our perception of God and the fact that we interpreted Scripture from that perception. We did not allow Scripture to stand on its own merit. We created our merit. And again, this it comes across kind of harsh the way I'm saying this, and I don't mean for it to sound that way. Because, I mean, I thank God for the way I was raised, because they pointed me to Jesus Christ and salvation through Him alone. So I cannot in any way discredit that. And they did tell us, you know, you're not supposed to sin, even though they believed that it's impossible not to sin. You know, don't do it, but it's impossible not to do it. All right, isn't that a little bit of a contradiction? But we, you know, anyway. Here in Isaiah 55, two verses, verse 8, God speaking, He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Well, you read that verse, for those two verses, and you begin to think, well, yeah, I mean, you know, He's God. Makes sense to me. I mean, His thoughts are not my thoughts. His ways aren't my ways. And, you know, as yeah, like He says right here, the heavens higher than the earth. I mean, that, His thoughts higher than my thoughts. I mean, that's just the way it is, you know. And you just cannot understand. And that's kind of the way we would come across with this. And things like, well, you just never know what God's going to do. So we accepted that. And see, that led to us attributing almost everything to God. Well, God made them sick. Teach them a lesson. God hurt them to teach them. God burned their house down to teach them. God did this. God did that. Well, you know, when you have a God like that, who needs a devil? Think about it. Well, but we didn't think about it that way. We just, you know, you never know what God's going to do. Well, as time went on, I began to see things a little bit differently. Here in this passage, now, these verses, 8 and 9, where God is saying that my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. He's right. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Now, let's think for a moment. He says the heavens, you know, higher than the earth. All right, well, let's just kind of use that, what He has said, to illustrate. There He is up in heaven. Here we are down here on earth. His thoughts originate from His position up there. Our thoughts originate from our position down here. I mean, that's what we're seeing. So therefore, based only on that, yeah, I mean, how in the world can you figure God out? How can you know what He's going to do? How on earth can you even begin to hope to kind of think like God? How? How is this possible? So what we would do is pretty much just have a whatever will be kind of an attitude. You wake up in the morning, you do the best you can, and well, whatever happens must be God's will. No, that's not true. But yet you can't deny what you're seeing here. But let's think for a moment. What if I could become not deity, but like him? What if I could become like him? Furthermore, what if, where he says here, the heavens higher, you know, my ways are higher. Okay, what if it was possible for me to be up there with him? Now, if that could take place, if it were possible for me to be like him and for me to be where he is it not possible that I could begin thinking like him? Well, obviously the answer is yes to that. The big question is, how can I become like him and how can I get up there? How can this happen? Well, look over in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, what I'm going to be sharing with you tonight is something that, you know, we would have, when I was raised, we would have fussed about. We would have read it in Scripture, but then some of us would have argued the point, even though we just read it in Scripture. That's just how it was. But now look at this in 1 Corinthians. We won't read this whole chapter. You know, we've done this before. We're just going to hit a couple of verses. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, now this is written to Christians. This is not written to lost people. In verse 12, it says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Well, you'll notice that the word spirit is not capitalized anywhere in this 12th verse. This is talking about our born-again spirit and its point of origin. The point of origin for the born-again spirit or the born-again life or the new nature, if you will, is God. It came from him, no other source. So we have not received a spirit which is common to this fallen world, but this spirit that we received when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior originated with God. It is of God. And because we have received that spirit, we now have the capacity and potential to know the things that are freely given to us of God. So what we're seeing right here in this 12th verse is a revelation from God that once we're born again, we now have a spirit that is compatible with his. Now, we're not deity, we never will be. But because this spirit, this your born-again spirit, because it originated with God and not from human procreation, but spiritual procreation, to use those terms, I am born again. And because I am born again and that birth originated in the Spirit, you know, Jesus talked about this over in John chapter 3. Because that birth is a spiritual birth, and my point of origin, this new life that I have, is God. My spirit now has the ability, the potential, the capacity to know, understand, and comprehend the things that are freely given to us from God. I didn't have that back in Isaiah. The people back in those days, they did not have this. But now I have received this spirit which is of God, and it brings with it, gives to me this potential to know. Now, I want you to think of this phrase right here, that we might know, this word know. What is required in the knowing process? A mind, right? If you don't have a mind, you can't know something. That's kind of simple, but this means that this spirit that we have received, it's not just a spiritual condition, but it is also a different type of mindset or a different type of mentality. This is borne out down further in the chapter, verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So, this mind of Christ, it is a part of, if you will, this spirit that I've received of God, verse 12. And it's this mind of Christ which enables me to know. Now, this word know, think in terms of to fully comprehend, grasp, understand, realize, be able to discern and determine. Know the things that are freely given to me of God. He says, Who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct the Lord? But we have the mind of Christ. What does that mean? That means since we have the mind of Christ, we now have the ability to be taught by him. So now here was God up in heaven. And he's saying, you know, you people down there, my ways, my thoughts are higher than yours. You know, I'm up here in heaven and you're down there. Great separation. Likewise, great separation between the way I think and the way you think. Well, here comes Jesus. Dies. Raised from the dead. We put our faith in him, we are born again. And the Bible says that when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we are translated out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Now, that's a spiritual change. Even though physically, we're still in the same place. But that's a spiritual change. So now here I am in this kingdom. And I see that he has given to me his spirit. The spirit which is of God. He's given to me his spirit, but I'm not deity. Yet, I now am compatible with him. I have a type of equality with him as far as that spirit or that life is concerned. But along with it, I have been given the mind of Christ. That word, that phrase, mind of Christ, what it literally means is, I have been given the ability to think in a way I had never thought of before. To think in a way that is totally foreign to the way I used to think. I have the ability to think from a totally different perspective. Well, earlier we had asked the question, what if I could be like God? If I could be like God, isn't it possible that I could kind of think like God? Well, we've seen right here that I can be like God, but I'm not God. He's given to me of his spirit, that born again life, that born again spirit originated with him. Then we see that we have been given the mind of Christ, or we have been given access to the thought process of Christ so that we can know these things. Well, the other question was, is it possible, or what if it were possible for me to be where he is? So that we don't have this wide gulf, him in heaven, me down here. What if it were possible for me to be there with him? Well, look over in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. And in Ephesians chapter 2, just pick it up in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace are you saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So now, positionally speaking, I'm right there with Him. Well, now, this means I have the ability to do what the folks back there in Isaiah could not do. I have the ability to think from a higher perspective. I have the potential to think the way that God thinks. Now, see, when you start talking like that, some people just, well, you're crazy. Nobody can think the way God thinks. All right, let me ask you a question. Do you truly believe it was God's intention in Genesis chapter 1 for man to have a mental capacity that was diminished by the fall in Genesis 3? Do you believe that was God's intention? The answer to that is no. See, if you don't understand God's original intent in Genesis 1 and 2, then a lot of these things that we see now in Scripture, people will argue with. Now listen to this. The reason they do is because they are interpreting Scripture from their perspective of, well, we're down here on earth, we're just a bunch of old, rotten, stinking, no good, lousy, you know, barely going to make it to heaven sinners. Excuse me. No, if you're a sinner, you're not making it there. You must be born again or you cannot see the kingdom of God. But see, a lot of Christians don't even understand the change. They do not understand what happened when they got born again. In their minds, they think, well, bless God, I'm, you know, washed in the blood. Hallelujah. And now I'm going to heaven. I'm born again. But they compare themselves to people in the Old Testament who were not born again. They will tell you that, well, no, you know, you washed in the blood. Your sins are forgiven because of the blood. But, you know, you still, I mean, the real change comes at the last trump. When He comes back to get us, then everything will change. No, things have changed now. Do you realize that the only thing waiting at this point is the glorification of these bodies? But Christians don't understand this. A lot of them don't. And they will want to argue with that. But you don't understand. No, I do understand. I didn't understand, but I do understand now. So here I see. Now, I'm reading this from the Bible. You either accept what it says or you don't. Very simple. Now, here's what God has spoken over us, those who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Number one. When I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I did not receive from Him just an old, lost, but washed in the blood spirit. No, instead, all things have been made new. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. I have a new spirit. But along with that, God says, I'm giving to you the mind of Christ. So that with the mind of Christ, you're going to be able to have a Christ-like way of thinking. And not only that, but positionally speaking, I declare that you are already seated here with me in these heavenly places. Your assignment is on earth, but your position is here with me. Well, this being true, I can now say, all right, in the physical sense, yes, He's there, I'm here. But from His spiritual perspective, I'm seated there with Him. And not only that, but I now have the ability to think higher thoughts. I now have the ability to reason from a whole different perspective. It's totally up to me. Now let me show you. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. One of the saddest things is the fact that in the body of Christ, what I'm teaching tonight has to be taught again and again and again. Because we have a tendency, well, like the prophecy we had the other day, how that every generation just seems to coast on what the previous generation has done. And after a period of time, we have degenerated in our understanding of the things of God. And brought up, you know, what if? What if the generation after the apostles in the New Testament, what if they had pursued God with the same or greater diligence as the apostles when the church first was initiated? And what if the next generation pursued with the same hunger and the same... And what if the next generation... What do you think it'd be like by now, 2,000 years later? Where would we be in our comprehension of God? Where would we be in our kingdom life, if you will? We would be so far beyond where... But now, I mean, you've got people that are still fussing about water baptism.
Does it have to be full immersion? Or can we just, you know, pour a little cup of water on our heads?
We have Christians that are still fussing, complaining about, you know, tongues are of the devil. You know, all this stuff that should have been settled. But it hasn't been. So you have to go back and teach these things over and over again. Well, here in Romans chapter 12, look at this. Verse 1. I beseech, beg, implore you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed, or literally, do not remain conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, understand, discern, comprehend, fully know what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now look at this verse. Well, in verse 1, he says, look, sacrifice, what he's saying here literally is, you sacrifice your time. Don't use it for your own self-purposes the way you used to. Now, force yourself into that place with God so that you can experience change. And he says, don't remain conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, be ye changed. Okay, this is written to Christians. Knowing that, it means he cannot be telling me to get born again. He is telling me what I need to do after I am born again. Now that you're a Christian, now that you're seated with him in these heavenly places, now that you have this new spirit, now that you have the mind of Christ, you need to be transformed. That means I have to do something that will enable me to further become in this life everything God wants me to become. I have to be transformed. In other words, yeah, you're born again, but there's still something that hasn't changed. Your spirit is new. Your nature is new. Your position in Christ, all these things are new. These things have changed. But there's still something that needs to be transformed. Well, what is that something? It is my mind. Be ye transformed, but I'm already born again. Isn't that enough? God is saying no. Now, wait a minute. He's not saying these verses 1 and 2 are not saying this is how you get saved and get to heaven. He's saying this is what you need to do after you get saved so you understand what salvation life is all about. He says, be transformed. Don't remain conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Well, obviously, I have a mind now because I'm able to understand what he's writing here. You see this? He's telling me you're going to have to do something with your mental process that you hadn't done before, that before Jesus you couldn't have done, and now that you're born again, it doesn't automatically happen. It's something you have to do. In other words, you have to put, what he tells you in verse 1, present your body a living sacrifice. I have to be the one to put forth the effort for this transforming to take place. And it's in my mind, it's not a spiritual change, a spiritual birth, it is in my mind. So here I am, born again, but my mind currently is conformed to the world's way of thinking. He says, you've got to do something about this. You have got to renew your mind. You've got to be renewed. Be renewed by the transforming of your mind. I've got to change my mind. In other words, let me just simplify it. Stop thinking with your world mind and start thinking with the mind of Christ. Well, okay, that sounds good, but I need some help here. What can I do? Well, let me give you an example of what you can do. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, and we'll just look here at one verse, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, simply put, the Bible is the word of God. It is a revelation of the way God thinks. It is not up to him to state it differently. Here's why. He has already stated it in a way that we are able to comprehend. When people say things to me like, I just can't understand this stuff. I just don't. What you're telling me is that you don't believe what God says. Because if I am supposed to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, and the Word of God is, I'll say it this way, is like the primary tool that I am to use for the transforming of my mind, the rearranging of my thought process, that means God knows I have the ability to understand this. Why? Because my understanding is not going to be based on the world's way of comprehension, but on the mind of Christ's way of comprehension. The challenge before me is the fact that I have been raised in this world, trained to think the way the world thinks, and the way the world thinks has been carried over into the church, and that's the way it's been presented to me. So just because I'm a Christian, I'm in church, and I'm not being taught how to think any differently. I am being taught analysis from the world's perspective relative to what's in here. Because if I were being taught how to think with the mind of Christ, I wouldn't say something like, tongues are not for today, healing's not for today, miracles don't happen. I wouldn't say that. Because the way God thinks, those things are all still for today. That means if I start thinking with the mind of Christ, I will be thinking these things are for today. They haven't passed away. There are people who will tell you that the ministry of the prophet is no longer for today. The ministry of the apostle is no longer for today. And yet that's not the way God thinks. Because according to what God has revealed to us, the way he thinks, Jesus has given these ministry gifts to the church. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, they have been given to the church. I'm in the church, that means they exist. The church exists, those callings exist. Well, see, when I start thinking with the mind of Christ, I begin to realize these ministry callings are still real. They are valid for today. The gifts of the Spirit are still valid for today. I have to begin thinking from that different perspective. I have to have my mind transformed. I have to be renewed through this transforming of the way that I think. And it doesn't just happen. I know, you know, years ago I was praying, I was asking God, you know, why is it that so many Christians have problems in their thought life? And he said it's because they have more world input than they do word input. He said if they would have more word input than world input, they would start thinking the way I think. Well, see, again, there are people who would want to argue with that. He's God. You can't think. Now, wait a minute. He's the one that put this in here. I have the mind of Christ. Now, whether I use it is something up to me. I mean, he's not going to make me. But he's saying, look, you're born of my spirit. You think I'm going to leave you with that old way of thinking? There's no way. With my life, I have given to you access to a way of thinking that goes beyond anything this world can understand. Well, I began thinking about all this. And there are four things that this renewing, this being transformed by the renewing of your mind, there are four things that will happen in us, in the way our minds work, if we experience this transformation and this renewal. Four things. Number one, observation. Our observation will change. We will no longer look at the things of this world the way that, well, I'll say it like this, the way that we presently look at them. We will no longer look at circumstances the way we've always looked at them. I'll give you an example. We're standing outside and we look off in the distance and lo and behold, here comes a tornado. Now, the world's way of thinking is run for the storm cellar. You know, get in your car and try to out-race it. I mean, do something to protect yourself. Okay, isn't that not what we taught? They interrupt your favorite TV programs to tell you to run and hide. I mean, if they were that concerned, they'd shut the TV program off. So I wouldn't want to sit and watch it. I would run and hide. So they say, storm coming, you know, run for shelter and all this. Okay, that's the world's way of thinking. What is mind of Christ observation? Let's see here. That's a storm. Huh. That's a part of fallen creation. I'm in the world. I'm not of the world. My Father has placed all things under the feet of Christ. I'm the body of Christ. In other words, my observation will not be from my feet are planted in this world. My observation will be from seated in heavenly places in Him. Figuratively speaking, I will be looking down on this world the way He is looking at this world. My observation of things will completely change. My observation of anything associated with this natural world will be completely different. Oh, just like Jesus, see, He acknowledged the things of the natural world. I mean, He recognized them. That wasn't the problem. But the way He looked at them was different. Remember the fellow that, he had the physical problem. At the moment, I'm not recalling what it was. I think he was lame. Yeah, lame. And he looked at the guy and he said, your sins are forgiven. And all of these other people, like the religious leaders, you know, they're burning on the inside. You know, who does he think he is? And Jesus, perceiving their thoughts, he says, you know what? Which is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or take up your bed and walk? To prove to you that I have the ability to forgive sins. Take up your bed and walk. The guy takes up his bed and walks. That made him even madder. But he was observing the situation from his perspective in the kingdom as a son of God. Okay, we are a son of God, are we not? We're His children, joint heirs with God, with Christ. We, the Holy Spirit, bearing witness with our spirit. You're the children of God. So now, the more that my mind is changed and renewed, I start looking at everything from a whole different perspective. I'm not looking at things the way the world looks at them. The next thing, number two, is analysis. The more that I'm thinking with the mind of Christ, the more that I'm being renewed by the transforming of my mind, my analysis of situations will be completely different. I will look at the storm. I will look at that tornado. And I will conclude that is a part of fallen creation. I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. That thing is of this world. It's not of the kingdom. I'm of the kingdom. I'm looking at that from my perspective of being a resident of the kingdom. I'm looking out the window of the kingdom, if you will, and I see this thing. Okay, that's my observation. And I have no fear. People are yelling, you better get inside, you better run, you better hide, you better dig a hole, crawl it, you're going to get blown away. That thing will pick you up and take you to Oz. You better hide. But my observation is not based upon the restrictions of this natural world. And my analysis is, I can say, peace be still, and not have to worry. That thing does not have authority over me. That's just one example. Now, years ago, and what I'm getting ready to share with you, I mean, you guys can believe it if you want to. It's totally up to you. But I'm telling you what's happened in my own life. Years ago, I began to, it's like I had a breakthrough. Remember when Jesus, he's in the boat, he's asleep, the apostles are all worked up. There's a storm, the waters are filling the boat. Oh, what are we going to do? Well, go wake Jesus and give him a bucket and ask him to bail. So they go back and wake up Jesus. And Jesus says, what's going on? I said, don't you care? We're going to die. Well, Jesus stood up. He observes the situation from his perspective. He analyzes the whole thing, and he realizes, no, the Father told me to go to the other side. Now, I'm going to the other side. This thing, this circumstance is not going to stop me. Therefore, he says, peace, be still. The wind and the waves stop. And what's interesting is that when you read this story in Scripture, the apostles, it's like they got even more scared. Let me get this straight. You guys thought you were going to die a minute ago. Now that the storm and the threat is over, you're more scared? Who is this? How can he come? I don't read in Scripture where they looked at him and say, can you tell us how you did that? Because they're looking at it from a, people can't do anything like that. Why? You can't. But they were observing it. It happened right before their very eyes. But they were still looking at it from their world perspective, which says, this is impossible. And Jesus was like, no, this is business as usual. He analyzed the situation and realized, I can do something about this. Which leads to number three, conclusion. I'm observing everything from a totally different perspective. I am analyzing it from a kingdom perspective, from a Word of God perspective. And I realize, no, cancer's not right. We're not supposed to have cancer. We're not supposed to have this. And this thing's not supposed to be happening. And that's not supposed to be going. I mean, whatever it would be. I'm observing it and I'm analyzing it according to the standard of my mind, which has been transformed by the Word of God. The Word of God is now dominating the way I think, which is the way God thinks. And I come to a conclusion. This is not right. This can be changed. Not, well, I don't know, maybe God will do something about this. If we pray and fast, maybe we can move God. No, the conclusion is, I have God's life and nature on the inside of me. I am seated with Him in heavenly places. I'm just on a mission here for the time being. I have been given the authority to use the name of Jesus. God said, if I believe in my heart and don't doubt what I say, I can have. I say, storm, dissipate. Now listen to this. I didn't say, storm, go another direction. See what I'm saying? That's the world's way of thinking. Storm, dissipate. Dissipate. Stop. When we were in Canada here 2 years ago, January, man, the weather reports were horrible. They were talking like 12 to 14 inches of snow. It was bad. And we're sitting, the folks we were staying with, you know, we're sitting there in their dining room, sitting at the table. I'm looking out the window, gray. You know those gray skies? It's like those guys are just saying, here it comes. I'm going to dump it on you. And it was, you know, just starting to snow, some flakes. And I thought, I'm not going to put up with this. So I excused myself and went down into the basement set up like an apartment. And I went down in there and went into the bathroom, shut the door. And in the name of Jesus, and I started speaking to this thing, rebuking it. And you know that storm completely dissipated. And they got about maybe a half an inch, maybe an inch of snow. I mean, it wasn't much. The temperature went up, so the stuff melted really fast. And I'm thinking, it works. This has happened over and over and over again in my life, where I have spoken to storms, spoken to tornadoes that they said were forming, and these things have gone completely away. The storms have stopped. Or maybe there was rain, but it wasn't like 12 inches of rain. I mean, whatever. In other words, I've lived this. So therefore, we observe it. We analyze it. We come to a conclusion of what to do. Then we take action. Now, all of this happens. You know how people say, well, I didn't give it a second thought. All of this happens without a second thought. And the reason is because I have been transformed by the renewing of my mind. My mind, the way I think, is now lining up with the mind of Christ, the way that God thinks, and it's becoming, my way of thinking is now becoming more compatible with the spiritual life that's on the inside of me. This leads in the direction of what Jesus said, if you believe in me, the works that I do, you shall do also. Because see, Jesus, when people, look, every person that was taken to him, every person who went to him, received their healing, their miracle, the maimed were made whole, every single person. There were no exceptions. It was no big deal to him because he was thinking from that perspective. I now have that potential. But it doesn't happen automatically. I have to be transformed by replacing my old way of thinking with the new way of thinking. And I will then be able to clearly understand, discern, comprehend, fully know the will of God. I'll know it. And somebody can say, well, but healing's not for today. And then they get healed. Because those words will not have, in fact, now listen to this. I'll get to the point to where I won't feel like I've got to get them healed to justify me in their eyes. Because a lot of times that's what we're after. In other words, you don't think this is real? Oh, I'm going to show you it's real. I'm going to pray and they're going to get healed. Then we're going to find out who's right. No, it's not about that. It's about, I believe what you want, but in Jesus' name be healed. Because you're not going to have an impact. It's just the way it was with Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Well, think of it like this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of the way we should think. To him, life was normal by seeing all these things happen. Turning water into wine. He, like, well, sure, this can be done. Nah, Jesus, you can't do that. You can't alter the chemical compound composition of water and rearrange the molecules so that it turns into wine. You can't do that. He's like, why not? I mean, that's what we did back in Genesis 1. The earth, remember, spoke to it and it produced animals. Spoke to the water produced creatures. Why can't I turn the water into wine? Well, because, Jesus, you just can't do that. Now, our goal is not to be able to turn water into wine or bourbon or vodka or anything else. When we begin thinking like this, everything begins to change and it eventually can become a way of life just like it was with Jesus. Now, here's part of the challenge for us. It's believing that this is possible. When we've been taught for so many years by so many different preachers what you can't do, regardless of what the Bible says you can, when we've been taught so long all this other stuff, And we have not been trained to think kingdom-wise, supernatural-wise, life of God-wise. When we haven't been taught to think like that at all, the challenge is to come to the place of believing that it can happen. Now, the worst thing we can do is sit back and try and think, well, okay, I guess it can happen, but I'm still trying to figure out how it can happen. Don't waste your time. Just accept the fact that it works and that it can happen. Here's one of the things that I've done over the years, the things that I don't understand. I'll go to God and I'll just tell Him, I don't understand. I don't know how this works. I don't know how it works to lay hands on the sick and see them healed. See, I can remember when I was taking physics courses in school, and the teacher be up there, all these formulas and so forth. Okay, I see the formula. Now I know how this thing works over here. There's no blackboard in Scripture. I don't need the formula. What I need is faith. Faith to believe this is possible. Faith to be willing to lay down all the stuff I believed about me and what God can do, what I can do, what I can do in Christ, all this stuff, just to lay it down and say, okay, God, I don't understand. I really don't. However, I can't deny what I'm reading in here. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to approach this from the perspective that it is absolutely true, and I have only begun to scratch the surface of this truth. This is my first step. And you know, that's all He needs. That's all He needs. He says, that is your starting point. That is what I can work with. And I can help you from this point on. And obviously praying in the Spirit plays a huge role in this as well. But the more we put the Word in us, is the more that the Holy Spirit has something to work with on the inside of us as we're praying in the Spirit. Changing the way we think will change the way we live. We can get to the place to where we're no longer concerned. Well, boy, I'd like to pray for those people, but boy, what if it doesn't work? We're concerned about how we will look to people. We'll get to the place of thinking, you know what? I know the Bible's true. I know I can lay hands on the sick and I know they'll recover. But if it doesn't work this time, you know what? At least I can say, I tried. At least I can say, I did step out in faith. And if it doesn't work, well, that just means I've got more work to do on me. But if other people don't like that, and if other people want to make fun of me and say, well, you're stupid, let them talk. Because the Word of God has already established the fact this will work. I have to be the one that gets transformed and lined up with the Word of God. And it will happen. It will happen. So we accept by faith this is going to take place. And then we begin feasting on the Word, sowing the Word into us, praying in the Holy Spirit, doing everything that we can for our minds to begin to change. It doesn't happen overnight. It is a transformation process. But since God said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, what that means is it will happen if we will do our part. Remember, His Word will not return void. It will accomplish everything He sent it for it to accomplish. I know this will work. I'm challenged by this too because I have to work on me as well. But praise God, it works. Hallelujah.